Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with you today. I have a message for you, and it is a message to encourage you because we live in very discouraging days. We want to make sure that the saints of God are encouraged. And so may this word enter into your heart this morning and get you ready for the day ahead, the week ahead, the months ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be fully equipped for the days that lie ahead. And it's so good to be back on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. So if you're out there today tuning in, you know that the number to call is 818-369-0326. That is an opportunity for anybody to share their thoughts, their heart, something we're not seeing that maybe needs to be presented to the listeners out there. And it's so good to know that so many people really are listening. But here's the word of the Lord today. This is where I want to begin, and we'll allow ourselves to just kind of go where the Spirit of God flows. And the word today is never quit. Never quit. I believe that came from Winston Churchill. Never give up. Never quit, right? And yet it's something my Aunt Sonia told me before I even knew who Winston Churchill was. Probably, I'd say a good 37 years ago. I remember being in Southern California, and I was going through some pretty rough times. I was a brand new Christian and struggling with some things. And my Aunt Sonia used to pray that my tires would go flat because I was always getting in my car running places I shouldn't go. And I used to have more flat tires than you could imagine. It was crazy. She would pray for a flat tire, I'd get flat tires. So I couldn't go anywhere. And one day we sat back in the yard. It was actually in Escondido, California. And Aunt Sonia looked across the table, and she looked into my eyes. And man, you talk about an intercessor. Aunt Sonia was an intercessor extraordinaire. And she looked at me and she said, "The secret to your becoming the man that God wants you to be, is never quit." And she said it two or three times, and she just wrote, "Never quit. Never quit." Those words stayed with me all these years. And in the 1990s, the late 1990s and the early 2000s, I began to exercise a gift that God had given me. And I have before me a stack of over 1,000 pages of writings that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, most of it. Obviously, some flesh get in there once in a while. But this is a word that I found this morning coming to the airwaves, and it's titled, Never Quit. Never Quit. And so let these words sink down deep into your heart, into your mind today, and let these words take root and be judicial, judge them, see if they're from the Lord. I believe they are. And because this is going to be your equipping, knowing the degradation, the darkness, the evil plots, plans, schemes of the enemy is not going to equip you. Now, we must know what the enemy is doing because the Word of God says we're not ignorant of his devices. But if you are a parent and you find out your teenage daughter or your teenage son are doing bad things behind closed doors, well, just because you know what they're doing does not equip you to handle the situation. You and I must be equipped, and the only equipping that God ever would give us is the equipping of the Word of God. The Scriptures are our equipping. Now, we know something's going on behind closed doors. We know that our teenage daughter, teenage sons are not doing the right thing, getting people in and out. They're sneaking in and out. They're doing things in their room they ought not to be doing. But as a parent, you say, okay, I know you're doing bad. I see you're doing wrong. I got you. But how do I handle it? With what is coming down the pike, this artificial intelligence, this mass mind control, all these different things that we have become aware of that are going on, how are we equipped? Well, let me just inspire you and encourage you, never quit. The words that I speak, they are truth and they are life. I am the God of abundance. And when I was writing these things, I always, you know, felt God's presence in them. So I always put God in the first place, the primary place. A lot of people would write something and kind of make it themselves, saying it to address people on a, you know, one-on-one basis. But, you know, in my writings, it was always God in the primary position. So let's see if his words are true. And I would say it again, the words that I speak, they are truth and they are life. I am the God of abundance. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and ways above your own. Think higher, my people. Think higher. For I have said that you must think on things above and not on things of the earth. Your preoccupation with the world is drawing you away from me. You seek signs and wonders in the earth rather than signs and wonders in the heavens. The heavens are far above the things you see with your natural eyes. They are without limitation. The things of the earth are subjected to futility and are frail. The things of the earth are natural, temporal, and mortal. But I have called you to the spiritual, eternal, and immortal life. The God of the world has blinded the minds of those who have not believed. The world is propped up by false imaginations, deceptions, lies, and a tremendous amount of trickery. The illusion of reality has been mistaken for truth, but in fact is a lie. Have you not seen the hopes of people being moved by every report they hear? Have you not noticed that man's words are what move the masses? Have I not said in my word that the whole world is deceived by the evil one? Again, the whole world is under the sway of evil. But not so with you, beloved. I have given you light for your journey. You have been poured into. You have been given the golden oil for the day in which you live. I say to you now, do not fall asleep, for it is time to arise. It is time to awake unto righteousness. Trim your lamps, beloved, for the midnight hour is come. You will need your lights to burn brightly at this time of spiritual darkness and wickedness. Many false spirits have been loosed in the earth with an organized plot to sweep my people away. Lie after lie is being sent forth to consume the minds of my people, to lead them into darkness. Compromise is on the rise, and the gates have opened to the enemy. He has entered in without notice and has ravaged the unsuspecting. Where are the shepherds? Where are the pastors of my flock? I say to the pastors, arise and guard the flock of my inheritance. Speak up and against all compromise. Raise the standard. Many have been diseased and wounded by the wolves and serpents. I will hold the pastors accountable. I have said in my word that the elders are to give an account for the souls of my people. You have allowed the voice of the world to seduce you into silence. You have become weary in the battle and have left off your responsibility to guard the flock. I call you now to return to your post. Take the rod of authority and drive away the beasts. Drive out the evil spirits that have invaded the flock. Reach for the oil of my anointing and give it out to the sheep and lambs, for their wounds are grievous. Seek not position or power among men, but condescend to service and to men of low estate. Forsake all once again and fulfill your calling. Return to your first love. Remember your passion to serve me and to tend to the flock of my inheritance. You were willing in those days to lay your life down for the sheep, but have become dull in your service and have felt unappreciated and misunderstood. I have not called you to be understood by men or appreciated by my flock. I have called you to love and guide my people into my everlasting kingdom. I have entrusted to your care the most valuable of all my possessions. I have given you the responsibility to care for the souls of my people. I have not called you to favoritism or to respect of persons, nor have I told you to admire the person of any. I've called you to guide under my hand a provision. I've called you to look to me and respond to me only. I've not called you to follow formulas or traditions. I tell you this day that if you guide with men's admiration in mind, you will taste the bitter fruits of failure and the blood of many will be upon your hands. For these days are evil. Wicked devices and clever schemes have been planned out for the destruction of my flock. I am speaking to you about the highest value in the created universe. I am telling you, pastors, that those who have received my name and have accepted my spirit within them are my inheritance. These must be guarded at all cost. You will not be able to lead them and guide them and protect them by formulas in this day. You must gather together my flock and lead them into their high calling. You must lead them upward and onward. You must lead them out of danger. I have called you and equipped you, my pastors, with spiritual understanding and spiritual anointing in order to lead my people. You must not lead in the flesh. You must not guide with the thoughts of the natural mind. You must lead and guard with the weapons of warfare that are effective for the pulling down of spiritual strongholds. Know this day that many of my people will not be able to persevere through the times that lie ahead because they have not been sheltered in a proper way. I have given you a spiritual covering that will enable all who come under your care to not only survive but prosper and grow into shepherds themselves and warriors and kings. I am saying that there is a guard about you that has been commissioned to protect those under your care. Your love for me will be translated into a vital and genuine love for my people. They will know it and will willingly yield to your counsel and direction. You will prosper by the wool they give and will have exactly what I have given you through them. I say these things to bring your mind and thoughts back to what is important. It is not important that you be heard or seen by men in the world. It is not important that you become great in the eyes of men. No. What is important is that you know each soul that has come to you has been by the leading of my spirit in order that you may care for them. However, Not all that is among you at this time is of me. For it is written that while men slept, the enemy sowed seed in the field. It is also written that evil men slipped in among you. Fear not these adversaries, for they will either become a possession of my flock or will come under the severe punishment by me. I am able to remove with a stroke of my hand. What is the higher way? It is heaven. It is the above life. It is my flock walking upon the earth while being seated with me. It is all the fruits of my spirit manifesting in every soul. It is the all-encompassing bond of love fulfilling and filling the hearts and minds of my people. To the apostles of this new day, I have given you a day wherein the powers of my kingdom are being released in you for the overthrow of the satanic kingdom. I have raised you up for the purpose of displaying my power among the nations. You must be filled with love. You may not rule my flock with a rod of iron, for the rod of iron is reserved for the rule over the nations. You are not to fleece my flock. I know your need for finances, and I will provide as you lovingly show my strength to my flock. I want you to focus on the 99% of the people who are fellowshipping in the joy of the Lord. Too often the message has been concerning Ananias and Sapphira, yet these were only two among thousands that were dealt with severely. You have been called to build up my people. The majority of my flock are in transition and are becoming sheep. Their transition is vital. My body is coming to maturity in this day, and you have been granted the responsibility of seeing the work finished. For this is the seventh day, the day of perfection, completion, and a finished work. You have no time to look at the clock. You have no time to look at things which do appear to be a certain way. I have given you divine power to accomplish this work in my people. Through the anointing I have placed within you, corporately, my body will be complete. You must see it as I see it. You must see the gathering together of the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. I say to the apostles that if you do not have power to match your words, you must humble yourselves until it is so. For I have determined to know not the words, but the power among you. Understand your part in this building. To my prophets, you are the voice through which all my flock shall be lifted up and encouraged. I have given you a special ability to express my heart and have put fire in your bones in order that you may ignite the fire in the hearts of my people. It is time for fire to come out of your mouths. You are issuing forth the witness of the new day. You have spoken and have proclaimed the third day, and this is good and this is right. Yet I will have you to pour forth more. I have given you this day to declare, for it is right. Therefore, hold not back. Do not say in your heart, the message has lost its savor. Beware that it is not you who have lost your savor. For the message is salted and ready to fill the earth. You have faced many obstacles and have overcome much, but I say to you that it is time to spread the message throughout the world, on radio, TV, magazines, and every pulpit around the world. For truly, this is the day of resurrection power, and my people must awake to this reality, but they must hear the trumpet sound long and hard. You are my trumpet in the earth. Look not to the left or right. Seek not to know what others are saying, but speak what I have put into your heart. Do not be embarrassed or afraid to speak, for this is your calling. With the third day, I have given you much to proclaim and will continue to open up the mysteries. To my handmaidens, you are the nurses within my flock. You are called to cherish me in my body. You are the hands through which I will touch those who are in need. You are the voice of comfort among my people. You are my willing vessels through whom I will proclaim signs and wonders in the earth. I say to you this moment to put on your holy garments, for I am coming to you. Put on your white garments, for you are my virgins in the earth. Your hearts are pure. I say to the pure-hearted that you will see me in this day. For I am coming to you in many forms, and you will know by my visitations that I have been among you. Through you, I will accomplish many things, and the hearts of many will be revealed. Your reward in this hour will be great joy. You will need this joy as you walk among my people. For many are weary and ready to give up. Your smile will bring healing. To the rest I say, you will surely know that I have worked among you through my servants. You will grow with God's speed. You are living in the season of the twinkling of an eye. Your changes are going to be rapid and swift as you submit to my authority. You are going to increase in spiritual maturity and wealth. I have determined that wealth and well-being will be your meat. Through you, I will feed my servants, yet you will have an abundance to share. Look and see if what I say is not so in a very short time. I am going to lead you and guide you into fields of abundance in new workplaces. I am going to give you the ability to gain wealth. You are going to find favor in the eyes of men, and they are going to give you much. Truly, you will be a fruitful bow. I have loved you, O my people, with an everlasting love. Our time draws near that we will embrace one another. My heart is passionate for you, and my longings run deep. I am intimately bound to you forever. My presence will be known to you in an ever-increasing way as your affections for me increase and abound. Together we will run to and fro throughout the earth. I have so much to show you. Hold tight to your course, beloved, and be not swayed from me. Lift up your head higher than it ever has been, and hear clearly this word and hold it until the race is over. Listen, never quit. I say again, never quit. Well, praise God. God has a ministry in the house. God has a ministry to the house. The fivefold ministry, as revealed in Ephesians chapter 4, is the true ministry of God. And that ministry is designed and purposed by God to bring the house, the people of God, into the perfected state that God desires. When I read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most important thing in the economy of God at this hour, is to release that fivefold ministry in the lives of every believer to bring them up into the fullness of Christ, to bring about an inward transformation so that a divine nature will be established on the inside. That is more valuable to God than anything going on in the world. And that divine nature, that divine character that will be established in the inward parts will be the powerful fuel that you and I will need to go through the days of darkness that are coming on the earth. And that is the truth. That is the truth. A supernatural intelligence is being imparted into the earth through artificial intelligence. It is supernatural. And the only other intelligence that will exceed it will be the intelligence of the Holy Spirit in the realm of heaven. And therefore, in order to hear the intelligence of God, we must submit to God. We must be broken under the authority of God. We must humble ourselves and repent of all corruption, our pride, our arrogance, our fears, our bondages, our offenses, all of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All of these things must be abandoned and broken. They must be obliterated so that the true nature of God can be established within us, so that we may be an organic body of Christ, not an organized religious system, but an organic body of Christ moving through the earth as the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. And we must be effective in the world in which we live to be salt and light, to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God through a divine nature. There are many gifted people that have no divine nature in them. They are not manifesting at all the divine nature that has taken root in their spirit. Yet they could cast out a devil, they could heal the sick, they could raise the dead, they could do all these giftings, but there's no fruit of the divine nature in their lives. And these are the ones that will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? And did we not do that? And did we not do this? I'm telling you, more important than gifting is character. For every ounce of gifting, there must be a pound of character in the body of Christ. That means we must enter in with knowledge and understanding to the covenant that God has made. And when we enter into the covenant of the kingdom, there is a transformation that is necessitated. You cannot help but be transformed in the kingdom, in the covenant that God has made with himself. And the only way that people are not changed is they're hanging out on the borders of the covenant. They have not entered into the kingdom. They have not truly been born again. They are not being led by the Holy Spirit. They are remaining carnal, and that is the bottom line. But what God is looking for is his image once again. God's not looking for gifts. He's not looking for signs and wonders. What God is looking for is his nature. God is looking for his image. God is looking for his likeness, because he created man in his image and likeness. That image and likeness was destroyed through sin, and God has worked to bring that image and likeness back through the blood of his cross in his Son. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the word of God. That is the word of God. I do not care, and you should not care, how gifted somebody is. You should be looking for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love must be absolutely overflowing out of those vessels that claim to know God. Joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and patience. These are the things that the character of the individual must be. So how do we do that? How does that happen? Well, I don't believe an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher can force that to happen in anybody. But I do believe, as a building ministry, that the Holy Spirit in those fivefold ministers, through them, there is a revelation and impartation to those vessels who are willing to be worked in. You see, a lot of people are not willing to be worked in. They know it all. They have all the answers. They think that they've got it. In reality, though, when you look at them and anybody else looks at them, they do not bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They have knowledge. They have understanding. They have some wisdom, but they haven't allowed the transformation in their heart to take root. And this is a problem. This is not what God's after. You can go out and you could heal every person on this planet and still go straight to hell. According to the word, you can go straight to hell, conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, how does it work? Well, God has the building ministry, okay? And that building ministry, anointed and appointed and ordained by God, has been filled with the Holy Spirit, so that the Word of God, listen to me here, the Word of God is to be presented apostolically, prophetically, evangelistically, pastorally, and in a teaching way. The Word of God, the Bible, the book, the covenant, must be imparted through a fivefold ministry that has understanding and anointing to break into a person's mind, to break into a person's soul, to bring impartation, revelation, so that there can be an intrinsic work of the Word of God in the individual. Now, if a person doesn't want to receive the Word of God, that they're stuck in tradition, they have a formula, they have tunnel vision into the Bible, and it could only say what they think it should say. If there's no further instruction, now you could read scriptures out of Hebrews where he said, by now you ought to be teachers, but you still have need of milk. By now you ought to be eating meat. He said to the Corinthians, he said, I want to give you spiritual things, but you can't handle it because you're still got all these issues going on with you. You have strife about you and all these problems. I can't even give you these things. Yes, there is further instruction for the body of Christ. And that instruction is designed by God to bring about the transformation from the inside out. I tell you the truth. And God doesn't want the ministry to cease. God doesn't want his ministers to give up. God is wanting to see this thing through to the end. He's looking for his image. And the question is he finding it in you and I? Is he finding his image in us? Is he finding his likeness in us? Is there evidence? Is there proof? You know, I love the fact that in my marriage, I could look at my spouse, my beloved wife, Patricia, and I could ask her. I could ask her, do you see fruit in my life? Are you seeing fruit? And I want to know, because sometimes we don't see it for ourselves. Sometimes we don't see ourselves the way that others see us. And I'm telling you right now that every single one of us needs some help to go further, to go further. What is God's intent? God's plan? What is God after with us? Well, let's go a little bit further today. Let's go a little bit further. What is God doing? How many of you know that we're now February 4th, and we know that Passover is coming into view? The winter season will soon pass. The season of the feast of the Lord will commence once again with an opportunity for us to find the value and the meaning of these once celebrated feast by the Jewish nation. They celebrated these things externally, outwardly. And yet, how many of you know that Paul the Apostle told the church of Corinth to celebrate and keep the feast, but inwardly? All of the feast of the Lord, which existed before there was ever a law of Moses, all the feast existed before the law. The Sabbath existed before the law. Tithing existed before the law. And all of these things that existed before the law were part of the economy of heaven. They were God's tithe, God's Sabbath, God's feasts. They all existed. They were to be shared. He shared them with mankind to teach them the ways of the kingdom, to show them. But then sin came, the law came, and these things were brought into the law, preserved under the law. And then when Christ came, a new covenant appeared, and these things that were preserved in the law, that were intended before the law, came out, and they are to be celebrated, and they are to be realized by God's people, because it is a system of the government of God, the ways of the kingdom of God, and every one of God's children should know God's ways so that we can operate in within his system and see the blessing and prosperity that comes with honoring his way, right? I mean, it just works. It just works. So we're coming close to the beginning of the feast of the Lord. The feast of the Lord. So what are the feasts intended to do in your life? Why would you, as a born-again, spirit-filled man of God, woman of God, what would the feasts of the Lord in the year 2019 have to do with you? What would your part be in celebrating the feasts? Well, let's just peek at it for a second. Does the blood of Jesus Christ have any value to you? Right now, today, is there any reason whatsoever for you to contemplate, to touch, to partake of the blood of Christ? Does his blood have any meaning in your life right now? I'm just asking. Do you consider the blood of Christ as an intrinsic part of your spiritual walk with God? Well, if you do, then I guess Passover would have a tremendous amount of value, wouldn't it? Now, if you go back 3,500 years, and you go back to the beginning of time when they were celebrating Passover, okay, go back to the beginning, if you will, to the Feast of Passover, beginning with the coming out of Egypt, which was before the law, right? God gave them this before the law. There was a Passover. It was an instruction. Then it was celebrated under the law. Now the fulfillment of that feast came in Christ. because he was the Passover lamb. He is the Passover lamb. Told to keep the feasts in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 through the Apostle Paul, the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits. These are the three connected feasts in the beginning of the year. If I'm told to keep them, what do they mean? Well, the feast of unleavened bread, Paul said, just get the leaven of hypocrisy out of your heart. You see, he internalized it. In the Old Testament, they were to get the leaven out of their houses. And if they didn't get the leaven out of their houses, they would burn the houses to the ground. But you see, we are the house. And God is saying, get the leaven in the feast of the Lord, get the leaven out. Now, we don't have to wait once a year, obviously, but this is a wonderful spring cleaning, if you will, the beginning of a new year in the economy of God and the calendar of God. This time that's coming up, the Feast of Passover, well, this is the time that we begin to look inwardly, introspectively into our hearts and find out, where's the leaven in my life? Is there a leaven of unbelief? Is there a leaven of doubt? Is there a leaven of flesh? Is there a leaven of worldliness? Is there where's the leaven in my thinking? Am I limiting God? Where's the leaven? Because we know that the danger of leaven is that a little leaven could leaven the whole loaf. And if we're not careful to get rid of any leaven in our thinking and our understanding, you know, we may have a misunderstanding about the very things of God. And if we don't get that leaven of misunderstanding out, it could crowd in and take over our entire thinking mechanism to deal with leaven inwardly. And of course, I mean, if you got garbage in your house that doesn't belong in the kingdom of God, get it out, right? We agree with that. So this celebration can be within our own homes. It could be, most importantly, though, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. So I want to utilize the feast of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. I want to value those by looking into the new covenant and seeing the fulfillment of what they represented in the old covenant. And I want them to work inside of me. I want them to work inside of me. I want that blood to purge my conscience. I want that blood to deliver me from the powers of darkness. I want that blood to forgive me. I want that blood to bring healing. I want that blood to speak mercy on my behalf. Oh, yes, the blood of Jesus is everything. It's the most powerful weapon against the powers of darkness. To that there is no doubt. Speak the blood of Jesus Christ. Speak the blood over your conscience, over your mind. The devil has been knitting things in your mind. The devil's been taking a needlepoint and sewing threads and networking over your mind to bring your mind into bondage and limitation. Well, this is a time of breaking out, the Exodus, the first Passover, coming out of the house of bondage. And it is with the shedding of blood that they were protected and they went forth. And so it is the shedding of the blood of Jesus right now that will break you out of the limitations that the devil has put on your own mind. Time of the breaking forth, the exodus, the deliverance, the going out of the house of bondage. It's a time of liberty and salvation. Your salvation and my salvation begins with the blood of Jesus Christ. It begins there. And 50 days later, the people under the law, they went to a mountain called Sinai, and God gave them his law. Remember? 50 days later, after that Passover celebration, 50 days, they came to a mountain, and the voice of God shook the earth, and they were terrified at Mount Sinai, and God gave his law to his people. Well, in the new covenant, 50 days later, after Passover, the people were in an upper room. They were in their own mountaintop, if you will. The disciples were in an upper room, and rather than receiving the law, they received the Spirit of God. This is Pentecost, Pente meaning 50, 50 days after Passover. The people are in an upper room. I want to ask you a question. Does the Holy Spirit have any influence in your life, any signification? Is the Holy Spirit meaningful to you? Is there any reason to learn a little bit more about the Holy Spirit? Or have you figured the Holy Spirit all out? You've got them all figured out. Well, I believe that we could grow in our understanding in the blood of Christ, Passover. I believe we can increase our learning and understanding in the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. all the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit, the counsel of the Spirit, the wisdom of the Spirit, the eternity of the Spirit, the eternal life of the Spirit. Who of us has figured out the intense, deliberate, base, foundation, meaning, the fabric, the root of the blood and the Spirit of God? And its effectual power in our lives, not just a head knowledge of it, but the power of the blood, the power of the Spirit in our lives. Is that not most important? And then, 4 months later, because from Pentecost to Tabernacles, those 4 months were all known as harvest months. And that's when they honored God with their Passover, when they honored God for Pentecost, and they did everything according to the Word of God, God sent rain to their lives. And that rain caused all the seeds that they had planted to prosper and grow. And for 4 months, they would reap their fields. They would harvest the bounty. They would harvest all the goodness of God. It didn't matter what the Philistines were doing. It didn't matter what the nations around them were doing. It didn't matter what Babylon was doing. It didn't matter what Egypt was doing. It didn't matter what anybody else was doing. That nation was caught into the kingdom economy of God, and they were prospering because they were honoring God. That's how your life can be. That's how my life can be. That's how the ecclesia could be, the church. So for 4 months, they're reaping, 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 reaping. And by the time they get to that third great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, they bring in the abundance of their overflow. They bring it, and for 7 days, they have a party extraordinaire. Celebrate, and they dance, and they sing, and they greet. And that final Feast of Tabernacles, well, it was the blood in Passover. It was the Spirit in Pentecost that were preparing the people for an encounter with the God of creation. In the Feast of Passover, it was in the outer court it was celebrated. Pentecost represents the inner court, and the Feast of Tabernacles is the Holy of Holies. The realm of Passover in the outer court is the realm of faith. The Feast of Pentecost in the holy place is the realm of hope. The Feast of Tabernacles in the holiest place is the realm of love, faith, hope, and love. These three remain. The outer court ministry of Passovers is a 30-fold ministry. The inner court Passover feast, or the Feast of Pentecost, is a 60-fold ministry. The Feast of Tabernacles in the Holy of Holies is a 100-fold. There's 30, 60, 100-fold. There's faith, hope, and love. There's the outer court, the inner court, and then the most holy place. There is the world, there is the flesh, there is the devil, there is a spirit, soul, and body. It begins with the body is the outside, the soul is the inside, but the spirit is the innermost part of our being. So there's a connection, there's a pattern that God would reveal to his people. Tabernacles is all about a people who have been harvested and prepared by the blood and the Spirit to prepare us for an encounter with Yahweh, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Feast of Tabernacles is the realization of everything coming to harvest, everything coming to completion, everything coming to fruitfulness, everything coming. It's where the grapes have been crushed and have made wine, where the oil or the olive berries have been crushed and they've been made the golden glistening oil. The oil and the wine are produced from the berries of the fruits that have been harvested, and Tabernacles is the time of celebrating the oil and the wine. Why are we talking about this today? Because there is a kingdom economy. There is a place for God's people. There is something that we can think about on purpose and not just be whimsical. And as we're beginning to awaken out of the winter, we remember the words of Solomon in his poetic form when he said, "Arise, my love, my dove, my fair one. Come away, for the winter is past, and the flowers appear on the earth." You see, that's not external. That's an inward experience that God would call you and I into. We go through these winter seasons where it's cold and dark. Everything is dead. It seems lifeless. But it's not, because underground there's life going on in that seed. And even though there's not the activity that we want to see, the expression of life upward here, outwardly in our lives, we know that it's going on inwardly, incubating in the depths of our being. And yet springtime comes and things begin to spring forth. And this all begins with celebrating the Passover. Maybe it's time for you and I to start considering, Passover's coming, what's my part in it? What does God want of me? What does he desire of me? Obviously, it is time to gather together. Passover is designed by God. All three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, are designed by God to unite the nation of Israel. They were all to leave wherever they were to come together to celebrate these great feasts. So obviously, during these feasts, God would gather his people together. And there are celebrations all over the world, from Jerusalem, Israel, to the ends of the earth. People celebrate these things. We celebrate them right here in Northwest Arkansas. And then we realize, Lord, this is part of your economy. You're not calling us to outward, traditional, obligatory, religious stuff, but you're calling us to remember the intrinsic work that you've brought into our lives. The deep spiritual value of the blood, this deep spiritual value of the Holy Spirit. And by the blood of Christ and by the Spirit of God, we are being made ready to encounter the King. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, God has a plan. And this plan is being worked out in the midst of a turmoilous planet. A planet that has gone down to the depths of depravity and oddness. The world in which we live right now is so odd. The world in which we live right now is extremely sick, blind, darkened, rebellious. The world in which we live, the mindset of the nations under the control of Antichrist power, if you stand back and look at it, it is the most foolish, the most ridiculous. I mean, it would be like being in Israel, an Israeli 3,000 years ago, and watching the priest of Baal, you know, cut themselves and shed blood and dance around with hookah or whatever they're doing. You would stand back and go, that's ridiculous. What are you guys doing? Sacrificing babies to Baal. I mean, how stupid is that, right? How stupid. And yet we live in a world now where the Virginia governor is now writing a bill to murder babies, their birth, after birth abortion. Stunning stupidity. But all satanic. You and I live in this world. And we can be consumed by what the world is doing, or we could be caught up into what God is doing. And God is going to use everything, every resource that he has to make sure that your life as a true believer is being built up. You cannot do it on your own. The blood will work, the Spirit will work, but the requirement is the fivefold ministry. Without an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher working in your life, you can never come to the fullness that God would have you to. All of these ministries must be working under the influence and anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know when it's working, when God's people are growing in their character, when they're growing organically as a new creation. And that work cannot commence until the individual is willing to lay down their lives under the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and be willing to open themselves up to everything that God wants to put on the inside of them that will cause them to grow. Does God have an ability to cause supernatural growth in our lives? He most certainly does. They do it with plants today. They have this stuff, it's called Supergrow or something like that. They did something to the chemical compounds or whatever, and they make it grow really fast. I don't believe is in a hurry at all, quite frankly. I don't think God is rushing anything. He's an artist extraordinary. He is a working a masterpiece. We are his workmanship, and he's not rushing it. God is not going to rush his work. Michelangelo wouldn't, and God is not going to rush his work. He's just working on those who are submitted to him in spirit and in truth. Those who are yielded to him, who are saying, here, I'm an empty canvas. Here I am. I'm a vessel, broken. I'm a jar of clay. Here I am. In all of my dysfunction, I submit, I yield, I surrender. God can work with a vessel like that. For those that said, I've worked my whole life to get to where I am and I'm not changing. Well, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool to think that you've arrived. You have not arrived. The number is 818-369-0326. If anybody is out there today that would love to just call in and kind of respond. I just went to the screen. This place is packed out today. Good morning, saints. Hallelujah. So the number to call is 818-369-0326. Man, I could tell you some miracles that happened in the last 24 hours that are just absolutely extraordinary. God is good. God is amazing. But what about you? What are you hearing this morning? Now's the time to press 1 on your dial pad if you're already tuned in. Let me hear from you. Let us hear what God is saying to you by and through what you're hearing today. Have we moved in the right direction? We've got about 10 minutes left on the broadcast to talk about it. Again, the number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll see that you're wanting to share something, and we'll have a conversation. Do you agree? Let's start there. Do you agree with what we heard today? Let's take our first call coming in from area code 479-696. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning. I went to Proverbs 28. Here we go. 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And what I just heard about the Virginia governor with the abortion, this, my God, this cannot be. I mean, this can, we have got to be a voice. The in Proverbs, it talks about how those that are appointed to destruction, the church has got to open up its mouth for those that are appointed for destruction. And we have to. We absolutely have to. This is a mandate by God Almighty that we must open up our mouths for them. And again, I just say the wicked will flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So,
amen.
Thank
well,
you.
Amen. That's a great word. And, you know, it boils down to love. And we say, well, you know, what are you going to do about this abortion issue? Because we're all called to love. And yet the reality is, do we love the babies that are being murdered? And that's where we need to start thinking about things. Let's take our next call coming in from, my special friend, Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, Patricia. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. What a wonderful program. I was delighted to hear that prophetic word. Where did you get that prophetic word?
Well, I wrote that several years ago, actually.
Oh, my goodness. If that isn't absolutely perfect for this moment, I don't know what is, but it has the answers. And it must go viral. It has the answers for the moment. And for the time in which we're in, and we need to hear that for encouragement, that we may be strengthened. I wasn't sure. I was hoping that you wrote that prophecy, but I wasn't sure. And I thought whoever wrote that, that must go viral. And it must go everywhere because it's going to bring an encouragement, a strengthening to the inner man. It is so important for right now, and it brings clarity of mind and thought as to where we are, who we are, and what God is doing in this time. Please find every way and method. All of you who are listening, to get that word out. I don't know how we can do it. Maybe my husband does, but let's get it out. It's imperative. It's important. And it's going to help multitudes. Believe me, it will.
All right, Patricia Joy, thank you for that encouraging word. We appreciate that. And, yeah, let's get the word out. So far, so good. Let's take our next call coming in from our dear friends in South Dakota that are actually in Northwest Arkansas. Good morning, Ken and Kathy. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes. I really appreciated the word of the Lord that came forth, and especially in the area, too, where God is working on the fruits of the Spirit in our life and to bring forth. And I was just reading a couple days ago about one of those fruits, and it was called gentleness, you know, that God wants to bring forth in his people. And I must have heard this from somebody because I wrote this right next to this particular scripture in the Bible. And it, you know what gentleness does then? It takes the sharpness of our tongues. And I thought, boy, I examined myself right away because I thought, yes, God is trying to bring forth the characteristic of what Jesus was like on this earth. And we all have to examine ourselves in that way. And then I like the word, too, never give up. So them really stuck with me. And I have an idea what came to me when I was hearing you read your particular thing there, what you could do. So maybe sometime privately on a phone call or whatever, I can just tell you what it is, but you can go with whatever you feel. Okay, thank you.
All right, absolutely. I'll look forward to that. Very good. All right, the lines are open. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. We're talking today about how to be equipped for the days that lie ahead. We all know what's here. We already know. And yet, how to remain equipped? What if you're a 19-year-old kid? What if you're a 25-year-old young man, a young lady living in this world today? What if you're in your 30s, your 40s, you're working hard to build a family? You know, how does this conversation affect you? See, here's the key. Doesn't matter what age you are. It is always about the Spirit of God and the blood of Christ working in us, a born-again experience. Now, you know, to me, that is the plan. And I happen to believe that as we are submitting to the Word of God, yielding to the work of the cross, yielding to the Spirit of God, as God is doing His work in us, everything else is going to kind of present itself as we go. Yeah, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, darkness, you know, crazy things, right? As we go in our sphere of influence, we will be more equipped to handle it because we've spent time in getting these things worked out and prepared. We've allowed for the work of God to be done in our lives. And I just want to pray with you right now as we leave the simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that every person that's tuned into this radio broadcast today, all of your sons and daughters, that we would just surrender to you right now. We would surrender our lives to you and say, Father, come and do your work. Come and put your hands upon our life. May your right hand guide us. May the hand of your beauty, Lord God, take care of us. May you calm all fears, take away all worry, strife, stress from everybody. Lord, would you keep us in a beautiful place of camaraderie and fellowship in the body of Christ, humbling ourselves before your holy throne. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I think my beloved wife has one more thing to say. Patricia, do you have something else to share?
Yes, in regards to the statement that was made beautifully from, I believe that was Kathy Brun, mm-hmm. and I do have a question regarding what she brought up, because I have often questioned myself about how Jesus, Yeshua, walked the face of this earth, that we are to emulate and be transformed into that image. And I am in total agreement with a gentle spirit. But my question is, Yeshua, Jesus, when he cast out the money changers that were buying and selling in the temple. He didn't do that in a gentle manner, nor when he was calling the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and other unbelievable names that we would sit back and think, I don't think we can do that. What is that balance to having a gentle spirit, which is one of the most beautiful things an individual can have, and then in saying, be in that manner in which Jesus Christ was when he cast out those people that were doing what they were doing in the church and the way he talked to the Pharisees? Please give me some understanding there.
Okay, now we're going a little bit over time, but we're still on the air, I believe, so I will answer that. I think sometimes we confuse gentleness with an idea that a mild-mannered Clark Kent. But the reality is that the reason why Jesus went into the temple and did what he did was not a lack of gentleness. What he was operating in as a gentle spirit, he was operating in the zeal of the Lord. He had a passion for the things of his Father. And we should never dismiss passion and zeal as a lack of gentleness. A gentle spirit is something you view in a person. You can see it in them. It becomes part of their fabric. It becomes part of their nature. They are gentle. And when the passion and the zeal comes out of them, it is anointed by God to bring transformation. And obviously Jesus, in all of his passion, in all of his way, he still was a gentle spirit. So don't confuse passion and say, well, you know, this zeal and this passion, his gentleness went away. No, his love never diminished. His gentleness never diminished. He was perfect in the divine nature. And so now a sharp tongue, you could just tell. I mean, there's discerning of spirit. There could be gentle people that come up in the fire of God. Absolutely. And there could be people that are not gentle and speak without any passion at all, but be as sharp as a tack, a briar. It's all in the nature of the individual. And we're going to have to talk more about that in time as we go. Hey, we're going to be leaving Blog Talk Radio right now, but you could go to Omega Radio, and Omega Radio is going to be hosting Bob Hagen, is up next on the Omega Radio Network. And remember, at omegaradio.org, you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until you don't want to listen anymore. But I'm telling you, all day long, all night, all morning, you can listen 24/7 at the Omega Radio Network. And even right now, as I said, Bob Hagen will be up next. There's a little song coming by my dear friend Keith Green, and we'll take it from there. So God bless you all on Blog Talk Radio. Go on over now and listen to the Omega Radio Network. Bob Hagen is up, and he's got a message titled, I Am Healed, out of Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. I don't think you're going to want to miss it. Have a beautiful day. This is Pastor Vince. I'll see you all tomorrow. Until we meet again, shalom.